we were talking about Zynetics, and I was wondering about just the portfolio of companies that you invested in with Geiger and Fialkov, and I realized I didn't know about just how many there were in total, in the total number of firms that the fund invested in. Do you have it just on the order of magnitude, you know, 10, 20?
Probably around 20.
Around 20. And would you characterize them mostly as being in all in the semiconductor area?
All in technology.
All in technology. What were some of the areas beyond semiconductors that you can recall?
I'll have to see if I can look it up someplace, because it's so far.
Yeah.
Different stuff.
So far back. It's a lot of years.
It is. Were, well then on the other side, how many people were involved with you know, the actual running of Geiger and Fialkov? Clearly at least two. How many others were involved? Did you have a staff?
We just had a young lady who did all the secretarial work.
That's
we
it.
Didn't have a staff.
Two guys.
Did you have outside sort of lawyers or accountants that you needed to use?
Sure,
for things?
Sure, we had accountants and we had lawyers.
Yeah.
But they didn't stick around all the time. You just...
No, but we...
In other words, you used them when you needed them.
I know who the lawyer was. I just went to his 90th birthday. And I know who, I think I know who the accountants were. No, we probably had a one of the top accounting firms. We had to have an auditor.
In New York, did you use people in the city or?
Yeah, the lawyer was in the city. The same lawyer we used for Standard Microsystems. And personal lawyer.
Hmm.
And as I said, I just went to his 90th birthday a few months ago.
Let's see. So, in addition to Intel, AMI, the Standard Microsystems, Microsemi, Zynetics, are there any other semiconductor-related investments from that first Geiger and Fialkov fund that come to mind as memorable in a way?
Hmm.
Or were there other equipment investments that you made? I guess this was the great period of
we invested in Karman Sapphire Company. When sapphire was going to be used as a substrate for microcircuits.
Right.
And they were ultimately sold to a major Union Carbide, I think.
Mm.
Karman was the entrepreneur. And we invested in them because I think the Strategic Defense Initiative was going to use sapphire
for
as a substrate.
Oh no!
Because of its radiation
hardening. Yeah.
And so that was when I was on the West Coast. And we ultimately sold that to Union Carbide because a major market hadn't developed for it. And, you know, we were happy to sell it. Was there any other semiconductor? probably I'll look it up. I'm sure I have it someplace.
When we reach 1975 and it's did your stake in Zynetics sort of end after the closure? It ended, yeah. But did you hold on to its stock after the...
There was no stock to hold on to. You're talking about Union Carbide?
No, I'm talking about...
Are you talking about...
Zynetics. I'm sorry, I wasn't
Zynetics
clear.
Was not sold to Union Carbide. It was sold to General Signal.
Right. So after Geiger and Fialkov closed, did you hold on to the stock in Zynetics?
No. No, I think it was... sold before we closed.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay.
As a matter of fact, there's a funny incident. There was a British company who was interested in buying Zynetics. I don't remember the name of the company. But I was on my way, traveling first class, as I remember. And there was a gentleman sitting next to me who was busy working. Had practically no conversation with him. When I got to the board meeting, he was there. He was a fellow from the British company who was interested in buying us. But ultimately, we didn't sell to him. You know, he had actually put in a major deposit in order to join us at the board meeting and make his pitch. And I don't remember the name of the company, but it was very interesting. We had sat during the entire trip from New York, flying to California, and there he was as our guest.
Well, what were your... when... in 1975, when Geiger and Fialkov was winding down, you know, what was your... were you still excited about venture investing? Because it seems like
yes.
You went right straight back into it after that fund closed.
Yes, I started a personal investment firm called
right.
Aleph Null Corporation. ALEPHNULL. Which is a mathematical symbol used in infinite mathematics. They ran out of Greek letters and they started using a Hebrew letter. And so I formed a company called Aleph Null, and we kept making startup investments. It was just a personal family company where I owned the preferred stock and my children owned the common stock. I wanted them to get the gains. And that worked out very well. We invested a lot of money in Microsemi and other companies we invested in. One was called Radyne, which was in telecommunications. Trying to remember names of companies we invested in. I don't think we invested in semiconductors. You know, we were investing in startups.
Mm-hmm.
And when I had the opportunity with a partner to form Poly Ventures, you know, I gave that up. I sort of liquidated that.
Now, when did you actually start this Aleph Null? What was the year?
As soon as we finished with Geiger and Fialkov. This was a
months.
Long Island-based company with an office very close to home. And I became involved in the technology, what was going on in technology in Long Island. And we We started a Long Island venture group that met every month, and you know, where people made presentations, and we had put them together with investors. And you know, it lasted a few years, and the major thing my children got out of it was a lot of Microsemi stock.
And then you started Poly Ventures. Would that be around 83 or so?
82.
I think we have that somewhere in our notes.
I guess we do. I just
I can't recall.
I'm trying to get a sense of that.
I don't know.
Were you, while you were doing Aleph Null, were you also participating in other people's venture
yes.
partnerships?
Yeah. Not a, you know, among, you know, there were other venture capitalists on Long Island that we co-invested in some. They were all technology.
And what of... what about participating in West Coast venture capital funds? Did you do any of that?
No.
Hmm.
No.
And did you make, in around 75, when you're deciding to set up this private investment operation, did you debate whether or not to do another venture capital partnership on your own, or did you feel you had had...
I didn't. It turned out that Shelley Harrison, who was an alumnus of Polytechnic University, I was involved at Polytechnic University because they had, it used to be Brooklyn Polytechnic, they had acquired the engineering school of NYU, from which I graduated. I went with the merger, and I joined the board of Polytechnic University. And I served on their board for about 20 years. And I met Shelley Harrison, who was interested in doing something in the venture field. He was a fellow who had been a successful entrepreneur with a company that made the things you scan in the supermarket.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the scanning,
barcode
scanning devices,
things.
The barcode scanner. And...
was that called Symbol Technologies?
Symbol Technologies. He was the founder of Symbol Technology with another partner called Jerome Schwartz. They had a... They separated, and Harrison left, and he was interested in getting into venture capital. He spoke to me, and we spoke to the people at Polytechnic University, from which I was an alumnus because they gave me an opportunity to decide whether I wanted to be an alumnus of NYU or of Brooklyn Polytechnic, and I went with the merger. As I always did. And so we started Poly Ventures, and Polytechnic University made a couple of million dollars out of that. So it was okay. And the semiconductor companies we invested in was DSP Circuits, when that was a startup, DSP Group, and DSP Communications, when it spun off, we invested in it. I was on the board of DSP Group. I was on the board of Opal, which made, you know, semiconductor equipment.
If I could just could rest just for a second, I'm just curious about this, because you mentioned this Long Island Venture Group.
Yes.
I'm just curious, did the background of the people who participated in that, they were all living in Long Island.
Yes.
Were they people who came from a similar background as you, from Brooklyn, or was that a much more diverse background?
Much more diverse.
Okay.
Much more
diverse. Because I have to say, as we've been doing this sort of work, we've found a lot of people who have this very similar background to yours in terms of families emigrating from Eastern Europe, coming to live in Brooklyn, going to Brooklyn Polytech or NYU Engineering, and going on to successful careers in venture capital and innovation firms. And I'm just curious whether that was something else that united these people in Long Island.
Was there a particular type of technology that was popular on Long Island in this period? Was there a dominant technology industry?
The dominant companies in Long Island prior to that time were the aircraft companies.
Right.
Fairchild and Republic and what's the big one? That's still there. Grumman. And so, you know, there was lots of technology, but just a few semiconductor small companies that were formed by people who used to work for my company. And there's still some alive doing mostly diodes and power semiconductors.
Mm-hmm.
They're still alive there, down there.
Was there any life sciences or biomedical stuff going on?
No, because we had no technological knowledge to be able to help those companies.
Right.
There were quite a few of them. We steered clear of them.
That's interesting, because Columbia and what have you had, you know, this the biology and chemistry departments of Columbia did develop some people in that area. But
Shelley Harrison, did he have a business background or a laser background? Was he a technologist?
He's a technologist, he's a PhD. Oh. He had worked at Bell Labs. And he's, as far as I know, he'd been doing personal, you know, venture capital investments through a family company ever since Polyventure stopped.
Mm.
He and his wife, Suzanne, they were both partners in Polyventure.
Symbol technology has certainly grown to be, I think, the dominant thing.
Dominant in their field.
Is he still involved with?
No.
He sold that company, or?
He yeah, it's public and he sold
just
that.
Just has a stake, yeah.
Did he have a PhD in electrical engineering, or do you remember his field of where he had his PhD? Was it electrical engineering, or?
It wasn't electrical.
Think something related to lasers, if it was for the...
Well, I was curious also whether it could be material science or something like that, but...
I don't remember.
That should be easy enough to find out.
Yeah, it would be interesting. That's one more person with the Bell Labs connection, too.
The DSP group, that's for digital signal processing or something like that?
It was the beginning of digital signal processing.
Which has become important for all communications, really?
Texas Instrument, major company in semiconductors for that. But turned into two successful companies, DSP Group and DSP Communications.
Now, what was its... That had its origins in Brooklyn Poly?
No. The arrangement with Brooklyn Poly really didn't produce anything which we had hoped.
In terms of investing in developments that they had made there?
This group was an Israeli group.
Oh.
And DSP group. And, you know, We had board meetings in Israel. We had board meetings in New York, mostly. And then it formed a subsidiary called DSB Communications, and that became a public company and ultimately was sold to Intel.
A U.S. subsidiary.
Yeah.
Was, I guess, so by that time, when you would have been making that investment, there was, I'm trying to remember the timing of, Intel made a big move to build, to start design groups and to establish semiconductor fabs in Israel. And I'm trying to remember when they did that. If it was before...
Intel did, National Semiconductor did.
Was that before the DSP group sequence? Was Intel already there? I can't remember.
I don't know either.
Yeah.
I don't know either. But the DSP group, you know, came to us with their ideas, and we liked it, and we invested. And the fellow who ran it was kind of a strange duck, and my partner, Bob Brill, who started on their board, asked me to take over the board position because he couldn't get along with the guy. And, you know, I got along with him. And it was very successful. And we invested in Opal, which was another Israeli company, which made these... made measuring equipment.
For testing the wafers, etc., yeah. Or what did they call that? Semiconductor metrology or something.
That's yeah. What it was.
Okay. So, yeah, that's very interesting because this was a very important time for the growth of the semiconductor industry in Israel.
Notwithstanding my connection with the Weitzman name. In 1968, I became involved in the Technion University. Hmm. I'm still involved as a regent of the American Technion Society, but at the beginning I was on the board. I was on the board of the university in Israel.
Wow.
And, you know, we had some connections to technology coming from Israel. And we invested in a few things in Israel. Another company we invested in, I'm trying to remember the name, ultimately sold. I'll find it.
Now, the Technion was the major sort of science and engineering
yes.
institution in the country. When was it founded? I guess it was founded much earlier than your involvement.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I think...
Stop dancing.